Welcome back to the Hardcore Therapist, where we explore topics related to mental health and personal growth. I'm your host, Sarah, and today we have an important discussion ahead. We want to emphasize right from the start that this podcast episode does not replace the need for professional therapy. It is crucial to acknowledge that while self-help and self-improvement tools can be valuable, they are not a substitute for therapy when needed. Hey, everyone. So I got a question a few weeks ago about explaining what nonviolent communication is. They said the person who asked me about it said they keep hearing about it and that they should be using it. And I actually was trained in nonviolent communication when I was in education. A few years ago, I did a presentation on nonviolent communication when I was working with a recovery program. And I've done nonviolent communication, like professional development. So I actually decided to use what I used for that. So I'm going to explain what nonviolent communication is. I'm going to explain the process and the steps and how it goes. So, what it is, first of all. So, we're taught that violent communication is normal. So, we have been taught this throughout our life. So, if you think about, like being a little kid and watching cartoons, there was always someone who was right and there was always someone who was wrong. And that is considered violent communications. I usually talk about like Tom and Jerry because that was like stuff that I would watch when I was little. And you know who was good and who was bad, or even like Pepe Le Pew and the cat, right? Like there was always someone who was right and someone was wrong, someone was getting away. But how, Marshall Rosenthal describes nonviolent communication specifically. It's a combination of thinking and language. We are using like powerful design with specific intention when you speak. The intention is to create a quality of connection with other people and oneself, allowing compassion, give and take, and places. So it's a spiritual practice, in my belief. All actions are taken for the sole purpose of willingly contributing to the well-being of ourselves and others. So there was a primary purpose for nonviolent communication, and it really, they did a lot of this with schools. But the primary purpose for nonviolent communication is to connect with other people in a way that enables everyone to be compassionately giving. So it's compassionate in the way that our giving combines willingness from the heart and willing to serve other people. And it's not out of this duty or obligation. So there's no fear of punishment or hope or reward. And it's not out of guilt or shame. It's just part of what would be natural. Okay. So, like, what comes from nature. So the guide is to use reframing on how we express ourselves and hear others instead of being habitual and automatic or reactionary. I talk about this sometimes when I talk to couples about when we are just waiting to say what we want to say rather than listening to someone else. That is actually kind of a violent kind of communication, but really hearing someone and maybe reframing what they said so that make sure that you are understanding and then being able to express ourselves with honesty and clarity while paying attention to the other person and giving them respect and empathy. So it, in this exchange, we come to hear our own deeper needs and also those of other people. So it's pretty cool. So that kind of explains nonviolent communication in a nutshell, but I think the process is really important. So there's four components to nonviolent communication, and the first one is observing, the second one is feeling, third is that what is the need, and then fourth is a request. So I'm going to give an example here, and again, I'm going to actually read this information because this is what I wrote up for the nonviolent communication. So again, there's concrete action we are observing that are affecting our well-being. So first we observe what actually happened in a situation. What are we observing the other person, what they're saying or what they're doing, and that it's either enriching us or not enriching our life. The important thing is to be able to articulate this observation without introducing any judgment or evaluation. And I think this is where it gets really tricky, especially when we're working with families and couples, is that we allow judgment to kind of take over, which makes it very difficult for the other person to actually want to talk and continue the conversation. Oftentimes, what will happen is they'll backtrack and keep on trying to repeat themselves or try to think of different ways of saying it so that you'll understand. Okay. So that's the whole thing right there. That's the first step. That is observation. The next one is how are we feeling, right? So how do we feel in relation to what we are observing? We state how we feel when we observe this action. Are we hurt, scared, happy, amused, irritated, whatever? So it's important to say something like, I've noticed that you blank. It makes me feel blank. So you have this understanding of what's going on. The next thing is needs, values, and desires that are creating our feelings. So what we need ourselves are connected to the feelings that we have identified. So it helps to be able to say, like, this is my need. I'm feeling this way and I need these needs to be met. So I will go through this once we go through the whole thing and give examples of how to go about doing this. So I'll explain it in like an example that I use one with my son all the time. So I'll explain that one to you. And here's kind of the action. The action is where we create the example. So this is the one I usually say, and Jacob, I love you, my son. And this is old. This is from like when we were when he was a kid. He used to take one sock off all the time and like shove it in the couch, drive me crazy. So I would say something like, hey, Jacob, when I see that your couch is shoved in the couch, I feel irritated and I need more order in the room that we share. Like I clean up and everything all the time. Would you be willing to put your sock in your room with your other ones or in the basket, just somewhere where it's not in the couch after you're done? And usually that is not so much a judgment on him. It's more about what my needs are. And that is helpful when you're trying to do that. That's kind of an easy one. I think that there's harder examples. So for instance, I have a client who really struggles with their partner spending too much money. So maybe something like this would be, and I'm going to make up an arbitrary name. So Sue, when I notice we don't have a lot of money in the bank account after we talked about trying to save money, I feel angry because I want our family to have more financial security. Would you be willing to put you can come up with a time limit, but like, would you be willing to come up with, a month where you're not buying any new clothes, something like that, just to start the conversation. So I hope that helps a little bit about what those components are and the steps to do it. So the second part of nonviolent communication, after we're able to express these parts very clearly, the communication that you need now is expressing honest thoughts from these four components. And then it's receiving that information. So you might be using nonviolent communication, but is the person that you're talking to able to receive it? So you also have to be able to receive it through those four components and listen to the feelings and needs behind each statement without agreeing or disagreeing. So for instance, I gave that example about my son with the socks. If Jacob was participating in nonviolent communication with me, he might say something like, yeah, mom, I hear what you're saying, and I will put my socks in my room before I go to bed at night. Okay, so he's hearing it and he's deciding how he's going to do that. How does that help, though, with nonviolent communication? After you're able to hear and listen to each other, what happens is you're actually able to build a deeper personal relationship. So you're deepening your emotional connection with a person, which is really helpful. You really want that when you're in any kind of relationship with anyone else. You're transforming judgment and criticism into understanding and connection. And I think this is where it gets really hard for people because oftentimes it's not just about us judging other people, we are also judging ourselves. So trying to get yourself out of that judgment and be more in discernment is going to be really helpful. I'm sorry, not the last thing, just another thing. Another thing is listening to another person so that they feel heard and understood. That is a really important aspect of relationships that I think a lot of people struggle because most people are not taught how to communicate well. So again, I mentioned that thing that I said, a human recorder. So I'm going to explain this. And if you wanted to ever do this with your partner or with your kids or whatever, pick any topic that you want to talk about for a minute or 2 minutes and talk to one person, the person you're trying to have a better relationship with, and talk to them. And they are not allowed to nod their head. They're not allowed to say anything. They are going to hear everything that you say. So let's say you're going to explain a story about something from your childhood. They're going to listen to everything you said and make sure they're understanding. They're not going to say anything else until you are done talking. And then when you're done talking, they'll take a minute or so to then reiterate exactly what you said to make sure that you feel heard. Again, it's something I do when I go on retreats and different things like that. It's called human recorder. So then under also understanding with personal relationships is getting your needs met more often without using demands, guilt, and shame. As a parent and as a wife and a therapist, it's not easy. I mean, I definitely have had times where I struggle through for this myself. And I also have to think before I ask for these things, am I demanding in a way that is shameful or guilt or guilt-ridden or anything like that? And so I have to take a look within myself as well. And knowing that I'm using less guilt is very helpful when it's when you're working with the nonviolent communication and shame. So, I mean, I don't know if people notice it all the time, but it definitely happens. And then the last thing to help that personal relationship is to hear the needs behind whatever anyone else does or says. Because maybe it's not just what they're saying, it might have something to do more than just that. And that essentially is what nonviolent communication is. And I hope for the person who asked me that it was helpful. I will say that in schools, it's a really helpful tool to use with students. I think it's great to use with your kids. I've used it with partners. And so when I'm working with couples, I'll use that as well. So that's that on nonviolent communication. If you have any questions for me, please let me know. You can reach out to me on Instagram at the Hardcore Therapist. You can reach out to me on my, you can email me at Gmail, thehardcoretherapist@gmail.com, or my website, thehardcoretherapist.com. All my merch is on my website. All my merch goes to uninsured and underinsured people, all the proceeds, I mean. My next guest is going to be Greg Bennett, who was in the band Trial. And we talked about humanitarian efforts and all these great things. I have so many good shows coming up. I have Krishna Das from Invocation. I have Vic Martin, who you might all know, coming up. Just really cool, great shows. I have some other really good shows, but those are like the next few weeks. Again, I appreciate everyone so much for listening to me. And as my daughter said, I love to yap. So here I am. Thanks for listening to me. Yeah. I hope you all have a great day from the Hardcore Therapist.